Good evening, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Friday, January the 29th, 2021. This is my third show for the day, and I have the honor to have three professors on. We have whistleblower Professor James Fetzer, and I call him a whistleblower because of what he's done to Sandy Hook, especially. And you talk about the government covering something up. Now, I also have Professor, not only James Fetzer of jamesfetzer.org or jimfetzer.org, but we also have Professor Paul on and Professor Joe on. So it's going to be an interesting show. Now, Jim Fetzer, I'm going to let you take it and talk about what you want to report on.
Well, Stu, let me give you the update of what's going on in Washington, D.C. and all that. There are national journals that are publishing the Guard isn't going home, expressing concerned leaders fear retention may suffer, where hundreds of National Guard troops have been, staying inside the Capitol Visitor Center to reinforce security, that the House of Representatives pursuing impeachment for Trump against his role in inciting an angry mob to storm the Capitol last week. But we know that's all nonsense. He didn't encourage or incite the crowd. It was already, those who are going to raid the Capitol were already there. We have James, a brother of John Sullivan, who's an Antifa leader, but James is on the other political side, blowing his cover and explaining James led 226 Antifa members feigning to be Trump supporters into the Capitol. It involved collusion with the Capitol Police. Nancy Pelosi, who controls the Capitol Police, was the conspirator to disrupt and derail the discussion of election fraud that was taking place, which was completely successful, and to smear Trump when his people weren't even at the Capitol at the time this took place. He spoke ending at 1:11. I listened to every word. It was a very wonderful speech covering a lot of the elements of election fraud. Nothing insightful about it. But the events were taking place at the Capitol well before that. As early as 12:40, they were showing up, that the Capitol Police Chief was calling for reinforcements, the National Guard, before Trump had even finished speaking. The big deal occurred before they'd even occurred, shown up at the Capitol. Now, what's going on with the impeachment is really a farce. According to the Constitution, if the president's impeached, the Chief Justice must resign, but the Chief Justice has declined the honor. They've inaugurated Patrick Leahy, a Democrat senator, to preside. So you got a Democrat senator presiding over the impeachment trial of a Republican president that the Democrats fear mightily. In fact, it's because they fear him so much that because during the election in 2020, he cleaned their clock, he mopped them up, he took around 75 million votes. Biden might have received 25. Remember, Biden didn't even run a campaign. He didn't even come out of the basement. He can draw anyone. In fact, they had to shut down the stands for the inauguration because no one was going to show up. Instead, they put up 200,000 flags as though they were people. But not only did no one show up, but apparently the members of, and associates of Biden were so afraid they were going to be subject to mass arrest, they didn't show up either. They did a video inauguration. It turned up in Spain 7 hours before the event. I was watching in real time and dumbfounded that the inauguration of Biden was taking place 10 or 15 minutes before noon, which is impossible because the Trump administration doesn't even end until noon. We have multiple other signs that what's going on is completely plain, that the White House is in lockdown. We have photographs of the building completely dark, that Biden was locked out of the White House, that the Pentagon has declared he cannot set foot on Pentagon property. He's not being given military planes to fly, and it appears that the Pentagon and FEMA are in control and that they're conducting ops to mop up the MERPs, that it'll take a bit of a while. But what's going on is a transition from the corporation of the United States of America in 1871, when the U.S. had gone bankrupt over the Civil War, that with the arrangements with European, including UK Rothschild bankers, to gain solvency. where that Donald used to high finance dealing and folding corporations and the like was in the perfect position to put it to rest, filed papers 18 months in advance with London to have the corporation end at 23:59 on the 19th. That would be 11:59 p.m., a minute before midnight on the 19th, the day before the inauguration, so that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were being inaugurated as the president and vice president of a corrupt corporation, where Trump designated that all the assets should be returned to the Republic of the United States, where it's good that he's out of the way and off to the side, because if Trump were present during this cleanup by the military, he'd be accused of deploying the military as a tyrant in order to deal with his political enemies. So it's very appropriate it's down at Mar-a-Lago while the military's in charge and the house cleaning has begun. Brent Johnson, who's a researcher and radio host, was on the SGT report delivering an update which is consistent with everything else I've been able to put together about what's going on here. I think we ought to feel very good that the situation is in military hands. Now, looming in the background is all the COVID nonsense, and it's become really quite preposterous. Elderly who've been perfectly healthy until now are given COVID shots and are dropping like flies. Even Hank Aaron appears to have died as a result of a COVID shot he was given, where we have a Roman Catholic priest who's really blown the cover on what's going on here and why it's an enormous threat to the world, why a few thousand mega-rich individuals are seeking to control the planet, and that it's up to us, billions of those whose lives are now being placed in jeopardy, to do something about it. Stu, we need to share his report with our audience.
Go ahead and play it, Jim. It's about 20 minutes, folks. It's worth basically what Jim's saying, worth hearing. Then we get comments from Professor Paul and Professor Joe. Jim?
Yeah, you want to go ahead and play
it? Yeah, go ahead and play it right now, and we'll come back and finish the conversation after it plays.
Go for it.
I don't. Do you have it to play there, Jim? I haven't pulled it yet.
Yeah, I can play it here.
Okay, please.
I'll hold up my phone.
We're living in a very dark age, and people need to know the truth. So I'm going to tell you in English here what is really going on. It's called the Masonic Takeover of the World. Everything deep, dark, evil, twisted, perverse, sadistic, masochistic, evil and satanic that has been lurking in the lodge, in the Masonic lodge, and in the hearts of the people who run it, is now coming forth into the open day. They founded their lodges in 1717. They spread around the world. They infiltrated institutions. They overthrew governments. Especially, they hate Catholic monarchies. Infiltrated the church institutions, the Knights of Columbus. They founded their own banks in New York City, Chase Manhattan, J.P. Morgan, Brown Brothers Harriman, Citibank. They took control of the Republican and Democratic parties. They started the First World War and the Second World War, and they controlled all the sides of them. They destroyed Austria because the emperor dared to veto the election of Rampolla Tingaro, their Masonic candidate for the papacy in 1904. And so the cardinals chose Pius X, and for that crime, the Masons destroyed Austria, the only nation that ceased to exist after the First World War. But now that's their ultimate scandemic, the Bilderbergers, that's the Rockefellers, this is total world control. They want control of everyone. They want to enslave us. They just don't want to own us. They want us to be evil like them. They want to take us to hell like them. They want us to love evil like them. they are pedophiles in the worst sense. They want everyone to be a pervert. They want everyone to be involved in evil. They want everyone involved in killing themselves. That's why they want you to suffocate yourself to death wearing a diaper on your face. That's why they want you to willingly stick out your arm and take chemicals injected in you that will destroy you, change what you are, make you a GMO creature. That's why they're racing to install all manners of high-tech equipment so that far beyond what is necessary for cell phone communication. I can't even say the name. This channel would be blocked. But they want to control because they want to be able to, through their computers, their few families, their few hundred people around the world, they want to be able to control all the automobiles and all the machinery and all the jobs and eventually everyone's online. They built the internet. The internet is one of their tools of control because they know that the more we spend time talking to each other through this method, like I'm doing now, the more we get programmed by it and controlled, because this is not real. Real is who would be next to me, okay? I have been doing the nightly prayers in front of the Basilica for nearly 10 months and transmitting all along. And the reason why no one comes is because I transmit. Why no one comes. And people don't realize that. You think that this is real, and so you stay home. You think that what you do on the internet is real, and so you don't do anything. It's the ultimate satanic deception. And so that's why I'm doing a totally politically incorrect broadcast right now, because I hope they cancel my channel. I hope they cancel me, because this is their method of control. This is not reality. We need to enter into the streets and take down these evil governments controlled by these evil people. Don't take the vaccine. It will kill you. Not the first one, the second one. But there's a principle more important than whether one vaccine will harm you or not. The principle is you're giving your life in the hands of people who are known mass murderers. The Masonic lodges have engineered the deaths of hundreds of millions of people. These are people that make Adolf Hitler look like an altar boy. I think Adolf Hitler was an altar boy. But these people are extremely evil. Don't trust them with anything. It is a sin to put more trust in wicked people than honest people. Whoever trusted Jesus Christ the way they people trust these globalists. So, God is putting for us a life and death. We can believe Jesus Christ and live honestly and naturally and morally upright, or we can become the total perverse puppets of a few hundred families around the world and so deceived and twisted that we think we're free while we're killing ourselves. And the decision's coming quickly because in January they plan to vaccinate everyone in Italy, whether they like it or not. And in the United States, the military has announced that it can vaccinate everyone in the country in 24 months. And they were told to prepare to do that by Donald Trump, not by Joe Biden. But both of them will command it when they get in power, unless one of them is convert. I think only one probably could convert, Donald Trump. The other one, I think, lost his soul long ago, if he still has one. So this is what the world is facing right now. It's not a small thing. We are in a very apocalyptic scenario. It might be the final apocalypse that John spoke of. It's so like it. Don't take the vaccine. You can use force to prevent yourself from being vaccinated. You can use lethal force. That's force. That's perfectly legitimate. Because the right of self-defense, if someone's trying to kill you, you can, if the only way you can prevent that is killing them, that's perfectly legitimate. That's Catholic teaching. It's always been the teaching of the church. Don't accept the big Masonic lie that we Christians can never use violence, or that violence is always evil. Why can they kill hundreds of millions of people but we can't defend ourselves? Come on now. Christians have always held the principle that you need to get rid of the rot before the rot spreads. if you ran into an individual like one of these Freemasons in the Middle Ages, these people would be hung and quartered before sunset in their village, because everyone would recognize that these people are absolutely evil witches. You don't have anything to do with them, and you don't tolerate them, and you certainly don't give them a chance. You certainly don't give them a chance to spread their evil lies. Okay. It's one thing to speak your mind, it's another thing to use free speech to plan and plot the murder of hundreds and millions of people. Billions, now they're planning to kill billions. We, the people, have to stop them. We cannot endure this. We cannot tolerate it. And we can't be peaceful about it. Yes, we must pray God, because we won't have this victory without him. But we must fight. And there are a lot more than us than them. There's nearly 8 billion of us, and there's only a few thousand of them. So there's no way they can survive if we stand up for what we are. Alas, though, billions of people are so stupid they're going to let themselves be murdered in the next few years by these maniacs. And we can try to talk sense into some of them, but some of them don't want sense. They're both completely blinded. We have to steel our souls against what is about to happen, because so many people we love are going to take their vaccine and destroy themselves. And then they'll wonder why it happened when we told them and warned them. So we need to keep warning people as much as possible now, but things are going to happen really rapidly now, because these governments aren't changing. They're not getting better. They're getting worse. They're getting more evil. They're getting more affiliated with this thing. Because these people have lost all light. They love darkness. And we have to be the children of light and act entirely different way. Meaning we have to work for the liberty of people. But it doesn't mean we can't fight. Okay. And this is something we have to recognize is our duty, our mission, and it's our. Or I say to you, the darker they can is this. And so now it's getting really dark, and I salute you. Stay free, stay close to Christ, say your prayers, but be prudent now. Things are going to get bad, and don't pretend that nothing's happening, okay? Prepare yourself.
That was 10 minutes and 2 seconds, actually. But every moment he spoke, it was devastating and revealing of what's taking place. And I believe his observation about their desire to turn the world into a world of perversion is 100% correct. And when you have AOC promoting climate change, which is based on the myth that CO2, which is a product of exhalation of processing oxygen into carbon dioxide, which is then recycled by trees and plants into oxygen, it, as though that were a sign of global warming, and the necessity to take carbon out of our environment is absurd. All living things, life is carbon-based, so what they're really doing is adopting an anti-life agenda. And when you have Biden promoting this transgender policy that persons, boys, young men who describe themselves as girls can enter girls' locker rooms and showers, it not only devastates women's sports, but it's going to destroy young women and girls from even going to school. I predict hundreds of thousands, if not millions, will be so embarrassed by the prospect of having to shower with boys, they will simply not go to school. I mean, this is all outrageous, but part of a very comprehensive global agenda where Biden and Harris appear to be part and parcel of the grander scheme that this priest has so courageously outlined in such powerful language. Your comments, Stu, Paul, pick it up.
Paul, go ahead.
That's really powerful material, and he's revealing some things that we've covered on this show previously. Just taking global warming as a starter, this whole idea that CO2, that we are creating the problem with carbon. And by the way, for the chemists and the audience, carbon, 666, six protons, six electrons, six neutrons. And the whole climate change argument, it's all bogus. And yet, I have to tell you, and Jim, you're from the academic community, I'm from the academic community, I even grew up in the academic community. So many of us have been indoctrinated to parrot back this climate change nonsense, this EVA transpiration myth that it's carbon that is warming the atmosphere. We can't go much further than what I'm saying here, because we have to move to the next point, and that is now the people of science, the people who are so committed to science. Well, now it's not about having a cervix or a penis. It's about how I feel. It's about how I think. And so what they've done, the people of science, they've said, well, gender now is about feelings or about disassociation. We are in a big world of hurt. Now, Jim, I have a question, and I don't know that any of us can really answer. There are so many of us, and yet in some ways there are so few of us, because the go-along, get-along crowd is in my community. And I know this sounds really ridiculous, but I have a friend who's making, she puts things, flyers out, and kind of does that because she feels like if you distribute literature or information, it's a lot better than trying to get into a conversation with people, because you get in a conversation with people, they're going to say, well, what's your data? How can you back it up? But the joke is that we are making out Marcus Wolf labels for every mailbox, because that's where my community is. I moved from Denver 2019 back to Minnesota. And I have to tell you, it is beyond surreal. People wearing masks to walk to the nature center. How can that be? Well, that's because people are afraid. They truly believe the same people that are trying to kill them care about them. I mean, we live in an it's idiocy. It's beyond my capacity sometimes, because my outrage is so significant to describe. I turn it over to you guys. I think the guy's spot on. I agree with what he's saying.
I want to go to Joel. Professor Joel.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I want you to comment on this.
It's just exactly what Paul has said.
Okay.
The problem is simply this. Who controls the microphone? Who controls the mass media?
Bingo.
And that does it right there. You don't get any other opinion. You don't. All you have to do is just take a look at NBC, CBS, CNN. You don't get anything else. You get one opinion. And how do you beat it?
You don't.
And that's the problem.
No. Problem is take over the media, and I'll explain you just a quick second. They rated back in the early 1990s, you saw Leonard Millman raid and took over ABC, Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse. You saw Daddy Bush take over CBS, NBC, and you saw Brofman's take over, I think it was Seagram 7's take over CBS. Now Brofman's, Whitney Webb has written extensively about that on Unlimited Hangout. She's done excellent work on it. But Meyer Lansky's empire went to Millman. Then it went to Larry Mizell. Okay? Now, that's the Silverado boys, the CIA director, I mean CIA counsel, Brownstein, the ones that are controlling the two APEC directors that control the everything
Stu,
now.
I have to say something real quick.
Yeah.
This is global. You have a great understanding of America and exactly who's behind who and what, but this is global, and so can you please wind this into the global beyond just the United States?
The money control has gone to the hands of a few. Those are the few that control the media. They bought Fox News out with Rupert Murdoch, same boys, Daddy Bush and the Jews, these mafia Jews, APEC Jews, bought out Cocaine News Network removed Ted Turner, pushed him out the door so they could have total control. It's the same people. And then you got Zuckerberg, who is the grandson of Greenberg, which is AIG Insurance, which was Milman again, and Daddy Bush, and the frauds on all the insurance companies that took over 5,000 reinsurance companies of busting them out illegally. What it amounts to is, then you got the Greenberg tied to the Denver, and the whole bit all tied to the same boys, and you got Zuckerberg out here owning. And then if you go into the ownership of Facebook, and you look at the attorneys of record, you got Hildebeest's attorney that sat on the board of directors of MDC, the parent company of Silverado, while they were president, first lady, and his son owns they created Air Force One, the movie, to put him on Viacom, which Viacom took over all of the entire network of radio shows, network of all the stations across the nation. They own and control. That's how they do it. Pick it up, Jim Fetzer, please.
Well, Stu, I think you're spot on about some of the parties here. It's really outrageous.
They are all the ones controlling the media, and they're controlling the money supply in America.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a panel of 100 executives from CNN, and they're all dual U.S. Israeli citizens, another panel of 100 executives from NBC, and they're all dual U.S. Israeli citizens. I got another panel of 100 executives from the New York Times. They're all dual U.S. Israeli citizens. I mean, this is, very clear. I've been very troubled by why they would be opposing Trump so viciously, because, you know, for the whole year, if not the whole administration, they were attacking him on every score, when they ought to have been supporting him, given the generosity he was showing toward Israel by, for example, moving the embassy to Jerusalem, by declaring the Golan Heights to be Israeli property, by unfunding the UN organization assisting Palestinian refugees, by even signing an executive order to redefine anti-Semitism to include criticism of the government of Israel, its policies and actions, which is a gross subversion of the First Amendment. I was shocked by that. And, this is really just amazing. And I have been forced to conclude it's because Trump is not willing to bomb Iran. He's not willing to bomb Iran. So they have been supporting Biden in the belief he's more amenable. I think they foresee that Biden is going to be taken out in short order, either by a mock assassination to be blamed on Trump supporters, or by virtue of his cognitive impairments, that Kamala will move up, and then she'll invite Hillary to be the vice president. And then just as after Ronald Reagan was shot, which was intended to convey the message, let George do it, George Herbert Walker Bush, his vice president, ran the government. Hillary Clinton as vice president or Kamala Harris will run the government, and believe me, Hillary will do to Iran what she did for Libya, the mass slaughter. She is a woman of no conscience, no principle, one of the most monstrous and inhumane individuals to ever occupy high office in an American government. This will be a travesty.
Now, I'm in agreement with you on Israel, and I'll tell you how infiltrated it is, Jim. If you go to my website, stuweb.com, you'll see a posting I've done the past couple of days, cyber attacks by Cheney Reservoir, Kansas. That's down by Wichita, Kansas. It's a secret underground NSA communication base that we have. But if you look at the document where I ran this, because I'm being cyber attacked so much, they were trying to log in, by the way, you can see it on there. Attempted login, failed, etc. They did it several times. But I run these IPs all the time because I block them. Now, I ran this IP. Not only did it come out of Cheney Reservoir, our United States government's NSA communication tied to Bluffdale, Utah, etc., but this particular IP, number 45.85160.150, goes back to Bryce, B-R-Y-C-E, Mallott, M-A-L-O-T-T, address 6, address 978-2328, address Jerusalem, address Israel. It's up on my site. There you are with the communications, doing cyber attacks, coming out of Israel, using the United States of America's phone system and computer system, all tied to the state of Israel.
Jim, I don't want to, well, what I really want to do, we don't get you on very often, maybe once a week. Where do you think things are with Donald Trump? What position does he currently have? Where is the military in your estimation? What is your best description for the absolute mockery that we're being presented with versus what may be an underlying reality? Or do you see a PSYOP within a PSYOP within a PSYOP?
Well, no. I think Trump actually has been standing up to the nation that he laid the groundwork with his executive order of 12 September 2018, that any foreign interference in an American election would allow the government to seize their assets, prosecute their personnel, Dominion, of course, based in Canada, Seidel in Spain, the servers were in Frankfurt. Turned out a late discovery was they were using Leonardo satellites, actually Vatican satellites out of Italy, to manipulate and control the vote to make it more difficult to track. Now, all that has been exposed, and the necessity for moving forward in the fashion that has followed is that if Trump, as president, were to be using the military to round up all of these traitors and, criminals in the American government, he would be accused of being a tyrant himself and abusing his authority, and the press would play it up that way. You must have no doubt about it, given what they've done here in the past. So that it was indispensable to have him on the sideline in Mar-a-Lago, seemingly in a state of retirement as a former president, in order for the military to move forward, where it appears he did sign the Insurrection Act. I believe it was on the 9th of January, around 3, well, I was given the exact time.
I'm in agreement.
Or something such. And that the military actually is moving forward, that Biden has been locked out of the White House, he's been denied stepping onto the Pentagon grounds, that he's not being recognized as a real president, because he is not, and that actually the cleanup, the mop-up is going forward. There's a really excellent presentation summary of the current state of the situation on the SGT report. Which was just given by a fellow who's both a researcher and a radio host himself by the name of Brent Johnson. And everything he reports there is a distilled summary of what I have been able to discover. And in some ways, he added details of which I was previously unaware. But the bottom line is the U.S. military is in charge. House keeling has begun. There was a reporter down at the 18th hole when Trump came off of a golf course just the other day and asked him, well, he actually said, I want to thank you, sir, for your service to the country. And as Trump got into his golf cart, he replied, we're not done. And I think that's 100% spot on correct.
Well, that's a fairly fair report. You got a comment, Joe?
I'll continue if Joel doesn't have anything. Jim, prescience is always difficult because we've got a lot of intelligence that's suggesting that the military is in charge. How does the military move forward? And how does a military that I think has been influenced by the deep state, possibly controlled by the deep state and the New World Order, how does this military rule proceed? Because if you're going to ferret out the traitors, the sedition, the criminality, the corruption, what does the military do, and what does the next 20 days, 60 days, 90 days look like to you?
Joe, Joel, you're asking me how things are going to look in 90 days?
20, 30, 60.
Yeah.
Well, I believe that. In fact, you know, we're in the process of the restoration of the Republic, which was turned into a corporation in 1871, that Trump filed the papers that the corporation was actually dissolved at 23:59, 1 minute to midnight on the 19th of January, the day before the inauguration, so that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were inaugurated as president and vice president of a defunct corporation. I think it was singularly fortuitous that we had a president with an extensive business background, used to dealing with corporations, dissolving them, where he had whatever assets remained transferred to the Republic of the United States of America. The original inauguration date for our Constitution of 1776 was the 4th of March. And if I read the tea leaves correctly, and I make no claims to infallibility, I believe Donald Trump will be inaugurated as the 19th president of the United States, of the Republic of the United States, based on the Constitution of 1776 on that date. So that there you have my crystal ball reading. I wish I could tell you that there are any guarantees in life, but it's not the way things are. So that's the best I can do, but I believe this is how it will all play out.
What time?
I appreciate your humility.
You're playing out. We're playing out through about a month or two, then, is what you're saying. Jim?
Stu, say that again.
I say what you're saying could play out within the next month or two.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there are all kinds of reported anomalies going on about flights to Guantanamo, about buses being in the area, the military not leaving because the military is there to enforce the law in Washington, D.C. Others have observed that the fences that were constructed are actually designed to keep people in rather than to keep them out. So I think there's a lot going on here, and the reason you're not going to see the military leaving soon is because they have not yet completed their mission.
Well, I'm in agreement we're under martial law, because the spook told me around the same time that you were speaking of, around the 9th or 10th of the month, that we were under red alert, which that's a form of martial law. It means they lit the code, they lit the nukes up, getting ready to go if necessary. So that, I know that we are under form of martial law, but I just don't know about all the other. But with that said, Joe, do you have any questions for Jim?
No, not at all. Well, the only thing I have to say about it all is, how do you get a man to become the so-called self-styled president of the United States Corporation where nobody attended his political rallies? They were all empty. Same thing with his inauguration. So what I'm alluding to is they are creating these illusion realities. So it's going to be very difficult to read the situation.
Now, I might add, besides the shadow government, I lost thought. Sorry. Paul, do you have any?
Sure, I'm a shadow government that is apparently in total control of Joseph Robinette, Beijing Biden. And then we have this maverick, Donald Trump, and we know he was selected, but we don't know how resistant he is to the New World Order. And so my concern, of course, being always cautious and skeptical and always wanting to understand the other side of the argument better than my own, I want to know what exactly is Donald Trump going to accomplish if, in fact, he can regain power, be the duly elected president of the United States with the military in control. And what does that mean for us? Because these 2,000 families, 5,000 families, they have a very long-range plan, and they've put their pieces in place, and it is truly remarkable that someone like Trump could come in and thwart that. Now, I get the argument that if you're a military guy, you're going to understand if China or Russia take over, they're going to get us first, probably. Everybody on this call is probably the first 50,000 to go under the roundups. But the military generals have to understand that sedition and treason don't go well. they're going down too. So is the military finally standing up and supporting Donald Trump? Because, hey, they know that this whole military-industrial complex, New World Order stuff, they're going first. I am having a little bit of trouble understanding what motivation and incentives people are following so that they are going to go against the New World Order agenda.
Jim, you want to answer that?
Yeah, I think that sounded right to me.
Well,
what's going to be very difficult is because these guys are experts at manipulating virtual reality. Think about what I just said. You had an entire Democrat campaign of where nobody attended the rallies.
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous. He actually even said, and I don't think this was a slip of the tongue, that they had put together the largest voter fraud organization in history. And on another occasion, he said, I don't need your assistance being elected, because he knew it was rigged. And but he'd need the help after he was in office. Well, I don't think it's going to play out either way. The outrageous moves he's made by canceling the XL pipeline, by telling ICE it should release everyone, regardless of transgender nonsense and a host of other issues, moving to give green cards in record time to illegals before our kids are even back in school, are backfiring, and there's a tremendous buyer's remorse among any Americans who were, you know, naive enough to vote for him in the first place and the mistaken belief he was some kind of moderate. Obviously, the Democrat Party is full socialist communist, but dominated by the Green Party agenda as useful idiots for the globalists who are bringing us the Great Reset. I mean, that's the stunning reality of it all.
You know, Jim, it's just, it's bizarre to look at all this. By the way, the Dominion voting machines, I'll bring it up, was created by Norman Brownstein of Denver, one of the APEC directors. It goes back to Cogency Global Inc. I ran the entire Secretary of State, pulled every document registered out of Colorado from the Colorado Secretary of State. I haven't put my report up yet, but it shows that now the control box for this is the Sam Walton family, and it goes back to their Little Rock, Arkansas address. Now, what's amazing is Giuliani, 911 cover-up meister, that Trump shouldn't have ever even hired as an attorney or an advisor, pushed his way into the White House, in my opinion, with Kellyanne Conway, his assistant, that her husband was saying Trump needs to be impeached, and even had a pack. Infiltrators in the White House. Now, that infiltrator, Giuliani, has been sued by Dominion and someone else. I think Trump's attorney also got sued. Now, all they're doing is going to do the same thing to the case of Dominion that they did to you, Jim, on Sandy Hook, and what Alex Jones did to you on Sandy Hook. And I'd like for you just to take Sandy Hook for a minute and explain about the lawsuit and how the Alex Jones thing came about. They're doing the same spin that they did on you. Would you explain it, Jim?
Well, Alex is a bit of a different case in the sense that he's been on both sides of the issue with Sandy Hook, sometimes affirming it was fake, others affirming it was real during a video deposition he gave in relation to a suit in Connecticut. He acknowledged he'd never even read Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, which is, of course, embarrassing and disqualifying since it's the only serious study of what actually happened, where I brought together 13 experts, including six current and retired PhD professors, and we established beyond any doubt that the school had been closed by 2008, that it was loaded with asbestos and other biohazard, damaged by hurricane, there were no students there, that it was a two-day FEMA drill, technically a mass casualty exercise involving children. Well, we even found the manual, which I included in the book as Appendix A, and where one of our contributors, Paul Preston, had reported that he, as a school administrator, had actually supervised active shooting drills and was so troubled by what he saw being broadcast from Newtown that day that he reached out to his contacts in the Obama Department of Education, all of whom confirmed to him that it had been a drill and that no students had been harmed, that it was done to promote gun control. Now, when Amazon banned the book less than a month after I put it on sale, even though it sold nearly 500 copies, I released it for free as a PDF. A friend of mine who follows these matters said it's been downloaded for free over 10 million times, which is sensational. Since I never cared about money but wanted to get out the truth, the lawsuit was brought against me. It's known as a SLAP suit, a strategic lawsuit against public participation. It's actually illegal in some 27 states to punish me for doing this on totally fabricated grounds, claiming that a copy of a death certificate that the plaintiff himself had actually provided to my colleague Kelly Watt was not authentic when he was claiming it was authentic. I mean, this was the whole issue on which the case revolved. I presented that, you know, the four different versions of the death certificate surfaced during the course of the trial. I had two different forensic experts testify that all four of the death certificates were fabrications. And nevertheless, the judge, although he was obligated to send the case to a jury for a trial, if there were any disputed facts, where obviously the authenticity of the death certificate over which I was being sued was a disputed fact, just set their opinions aside and went ahead and ruled against me, even though in the case, in a summary judgment, the court is obligated to take everything I say in my defense as though it were true. Well, I laid out all the proof, but he had earlier ruled out that I couldn't address Sandy Hook, but only focus on the death certificate. I mean, this was just an outrageous abuse of the law. And, you know, during a separate trial for damages, they projected an image of the alleged decedent, Noah Posner, and, you know, played, one of the attorneys even cried during the case. I mean, it's all outrageous. And so they found $450,000 in liability against me. I mean, it's just about as ridiculous as it gets. Now, the case is before the appellate court, and I think it should be relatively soon that the appellate court is going to rule, and I expect to be vindicated. In the meanwhile, I sought to show that the man who appeared for the video deposition, which they scheduled to be too late for me to actually use the contents of the video deposition in my defense during the trial. I mean, this was all very masterfully managed, where I was without an attorney willing to represent me, was not even the guy, the plaintiff, Leonard Posner, but someone else who's at least 20 years younger and 50 to 100 pounds lighter. I mean, I was seeking to establish that by finding an impeachment witness, which, as I read the law, I could do without notifying the court. And they came down with me, you know, came down like a hammer on me to insist that not in his court, and that I had violated the fact that it was marked as confidential, where I had slipped by me what that was supposed to mean, but I certainly felt I was entitled to do this. So he added on another $650,000. So I stand, you know, with a liability of $1.41 million for asserting the lack of authenticity of a death certificate that experts have confirmed is not authentic, and I'm not under the court's rule now. I can't even talk about it. I can't assert the sentences that I asserted in the book. You know, here I'm not affirming them. I'm merely talking about them. Let it be very clear, because the court would love nothing better than to throw me in the slammer. I mean, it's ridiculous how haywire our judicial system has become. Just outrageous.
I'm in agreement with you.
You've made no claims. You've only expressed information.
That's correct. That's correct. I'm just telling you what it was about, and I, you know, I precluded from reaffirming the position I took in the publication for which I was sued by the court. And by the way, the court never even acknowledged I was a journalist. How absurd is this? Here, where I'm being sued over sentences in a book, which is a published document, and the court won't even acknowledge I'm a journalist. I put it on, you know, all these blogs, hundreds of articles. I mean, for God's sake, at this point in time, I have published 40 books, and the court couldn't even rule that I was a journalist and therefore deserved to be considered in that light, where journalists are given, you know, privilege in relation. But, I mean, they didn't. Look, here's a bottom-line blunder. They withdrew the claim that I'd been malicious in doing this, which I obviously was not, but they never got around to proving I was at fault. Well, in all the courts of the land, there's no liability without fault. So they just committed a colossal legal blunder. I mean, this case is just rife with them. I can't wait to be in a position where I can address this in a public forum with all the documents and evidence I have about what happened in this case.
I would like to go before the grand jury, which I have a pending grand jury demand, and a federal judge said if the U.S. attorney didn't do his job, you can appear before the grand jury. It's a private attorney. I tried to do that, and they want to kill me over it. Now, yesterday...
So I'm not in the position to get deeper into this, okay?
I understand. Okay, now yesterday, Georgia made the announcement. Official state of Georgia said they're going to recount, and they're turning over voting machines. Now... could that be part of this military operation, should we say?
We got so many moving pieces.
And we don't know.
It's so fluid. I think at best, what we all can do is try and exercise caution, skepticism, and patience. We're already at 53 minutes, guys.
I understand. Let's sum it up.
My part down. I just want to say something. Paul Preston, I don't know personally, but I was a high school principal for 20-some years. And let me tell you, from 1989 on, nothing close to Sandy Hook could ever happen legitimately at a school where I was the high school principal. We had plans. We had strategies. We prepared. We did drills. The whole idea that Parkland or Sandy Hook could happen without a CIA, FBI, without a direct covert operation is preposterous. It is absolutely ludicrous. So anyway, I'm with you, brother. Continue on. And that's my last word, guys. I turn back to you.
Okay, Joe, you have any last words?
No.
Okay, I don't either. Jim Fetzer? You got any last words?
I'm just thrilled that we got a new member of Congress, a woman by the name of Marjorie Taylor Greene, a new representative of Congress, who's speaking out about Sandy Hook, about Parkland, and has filed articles of impeachment against Joe Biden. She's my new hero. I put her up there with Tulsi Gabbard and with Cynthia McKinney. This is a sensational woman who's speaking out for the truth, for a change.
That's fantastic. Jim Fetzer.
$9 jeans.
Jim Fetzer, give out your website.
Well, you mentioned it's jamesfetzer.org. Check out jimtheconspiracyguy.com, by the way, if you want to see evidence of Parkland and Sandy Hook were all fraudulent. You can find it there at Jim the Conspiracy Guy. If you watch... How to Spot a False Flag Part 1 and How to Spot a False Flag Part 2. Every American ought to do that because they will, discover how much they have been played.
Very well said. I thank you, Jim Fetzer. I thank you, Professor, Whistleblower, Captain, United States Marine Corps. What other title can I give you? Jim, thank you for being on. And Paul, Professor Paul, thank you for being on. And Professor Joe, for being on. You guys have a good weekend.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.